Hello and welcome to a new edition of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior. This is the foreign service of the Argentine Radio, transmitting from the city of Buenos Aires via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, and also via internet on rae.com.ar. My name is Fernando Farias, and together with our sound technician Gloria Sarmiento, we'll be bringing you this show in English for Thursday, October 24, 2024, with news, with sports, with music. Today we'll be remembering an important figure of Argentine heavy metal who passed away exactly a year ago, and we'll be listening to some of his music, of course. In addition, we'll be sharing a feature produced by The Economist about Queen Máxima. As you may know, Queen Máxima of the Netherlands was born in Argentina, Máxima Sorregueta, and is one of the leading figures of European royalty. And this comprehensive piece explores her life, her routine, her tasks as a monarch, but also her origins here in Argentina and how she met then Prince Wilhelm, currently the King of the Netherlands. But that will be later on after the news. Before we plunge into the news, let me remind you that you can listen to us via the shortwaves of WRMI on the frequency of 5850 kHz, and also via internet on rae.com.ar, plus our app for mobile devices that you can download for free and is available for both Android and Apple phones. If you want to get in touch with us, if you want to send an email, our address is qslrae@gmail.com. You can send a QSL card if you are the extra there, and you can also drop us a line and write to us the old-fashioned way with a letter using regular post to our physical address here in BA. Maipú Street 555, Buenos Aires, Argentina. That's our address. Let's get started now with the news. These are the headlines. The World Bank will grant a loan of $2 billion to Argentina. BRICS summit in Russia. Putin reaffirms his support for Venezuela's admission into the group. Elections in Uruguay. Opposition's Orsi and pro-government Delgado close their campaigns in Montevideo. Peru, online classes ordered in capital Lima amid public transport strike. Cuba, the government announces the restoration of electricity service after a four-day blackout. Sports, Boca Juniors advanced to the final of the Argentine Cup after defeating Gimnasia La Plata in a penalty shootout. And these are the news. The World Bank will grant a loan of $2 billion to Argentina. According to sources from the financial institution, the funds will be invested in social and educational programs. This was confirmed amid the visit of the economy minister Luis Caputo to the United States, where he met with various financial authorities and joined the IMF conference. Additionally, it was revealed yesterday that the country will receive another loan of $2.4 billion from the Inter-American Development Bank. The funds are earmarked for renewable energy and sustainable mining projects. In other economic news, manufacturing activity fell by 7.4% year-on-year in August, reflecting a 2.1% decline so far this year, as reported by the Argentine Industrial Union. However, the document anticipates a slight improvement in the sector over the coming months, particularly in the automotive industry. Russian President Vladimir Putin expressed his support for Venezuela's inclusion as a BRICS member during a summit held in Kazan, Russia. He emphasized the significance of the relationship between the two nations, noting ongoing joint projects in sectors such as energy and pharmaceuticals. BRICS, let's recall, comprises emerging economies including Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. Speaking of Brazil, President Lula da Silva addressed the summit via video conference due to health issues preventing him from traveling to Russia. In that context, he urged a de-escalation of conflicts in Ukraine and the Middle East, warning that they could potentially escalate to a global level. In Uruguay, the campaign for the presidential elections on Sunday, October 27, has concluded. In capital Montevideo, the leading candidates held the final rallies. Opposition candidate Yamandú Orosi from the Broad Front, a leftist party, who's leading in the polls, addressed his supporters at Parque Valle. In that context, he emphasized his commitment to dialogue and the importance of protecting education and security. He also stated his intention to be tough on crime and its causes. Meanwhile, Álvaro Delgado from the ruling National Party closed the campaign in Las Piedras, just 10 kilometers from Montevideo. In his speech, he defended the administration of outgoing President Luis Lacalle Pou and urged Uruguayans to compare the current state of the country with that of 5 years ago. The Cuban government announced the restoration of 70% of the country's electricity supply following a massive blackout that lasted several days. According to official sources, the issue stemmed from a failure at the Antonio Guterres thermal power plant, which occurred on October 18. The power outage led to widespread protests against authorities in the Caribbean nation. But officials assure that measures are being taken to strengthen the energy system and prevent similar problems in the future. In Peru, a public transport strike led to the closure of schools in capital Lima. Authorities ordered online classes due to the protests, which paralyzed the city. The public transport sector initiated the strike, demanding increased security in the metropolitan area. However, Peruvian President Dina Boluarte stated that such actions will not resolve the issue of crime. And now, sports. Boca Juniors advanced to the final of the Argentine Cup after beating Gimnasia 2-1 in a penalty shootout, with goalkeeper Leandro Bray playing a crucial role by saving 4 out of 5 shots. Meanwhile, Lanús secured a valuable 1-1 draw as a visitor against Brazil's Cruzeiro in the semifinals of the Copa Sudamericana. Additionally, Racing Club visits Corinthians today in Sao Paulo, Brazil, for the same competition, the South American Cup. And these were the news on RAE, Radiodifusión Argentina al Exterior.
RAE, Argentina al Mundo. RAE, Argentina, 面向世界.
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けて, Argentina.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentinian in the world.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
Coming up, a feature on Queen Máxima, on her life and her origins here in Argentina, and then all the way to New York. That's where she met her future husband, but they ended up living obviously in the Netherlands, and she becoming a Dutch national. I think she gave up her Argentine nationality. But just on the paper, she remains Argentine at heart, culturally speaking, also, in addition to being an adopted Dutch national, very popular. So well, we'll be going into that documentary after some music, which is related to an anniversary that is marked today, the first anniversary of the death of Ricardo Iorio, a key figure in the history of heavy metal, who passed away exactly a year ago at the age of 61. Iorio, bass player, singer, songwriter, was one of the founders of the first Argentine heavy metal band, V8, like the engines. Well, he was a member of that group that emerged in the early 1980s, even before the restoration of democracy, first to play that kind of sound that had emerged in the 1970s with bands like Black Sabbath, Deep Purple, Led Zeppelin, and later on especially bands like Judas Priest and Iron Maiden, especially those two. Iorio was a member of that and was a songwriter for it. Then the band broke up in the second half of the 1980s, and Iorio started a second band that would become even more popular than the first one, Hermética, that kind of embodied this spirit of resistance against the system in the 1990s, denouncing, well, many of the social injustices of the country and the transformation the country was going through with growing poverty and marginality. Hermética spoke a lot about that, and that touched home with a generation of young people, the generation of yours truly. I was a teenager when Hermética was releasing the music, and it really felt close to our lives and our hearts. And the music was tough, excellent. Iorio was also the bass player and the key songwriter of that band, and sang also lead vocals on some of the tunes. Plus, then he started a third band, Alma Fuerte, equally popular, and then a solo career in the last years of his life and career. He passed away a year ago, and well, let's honor him by playing one of the many tunes that he penned, many popular songs that he wrote, such as this one, Toro y Pampa, that he wrote for his third band, Alma Fuerte. And then after that, the feature on Máxima the Queen.
Desde hace tiempo, soñando siempre una canción para animarte y darte aliento. La melodía quiere llevar lo bueno y lindo de estar contento. Un buen descanso, un plato de sopa, el abrazo fraternal de un amigo leal, la voz te están faltando para que de un salto dejes la falopa y el emputecido berretín de andar limándote en la caja negra día domingo lejos de la ciudad, bajo el sol compartiendo entre amigos carne asada, pan, agua y vino, Toro y Pampa. Hijos del brazo nunca torcido, de dónde nace esa intención tan tonta de andar, llegué variando, viví del barrio donde he nacido,
ir a tu lado. Todos, todos nos fuimos ya. Vos no te quedes. Día domingo lejos de la ciudad, bajo el sol compartiendo entre amigos carne asada, pan, agua y vino, toro y pampa.
Queen Maxima, the star of the Dutch monarchy. A newcomer to the royal family. As UN special advocate, she tirelessly travels the world and meets with big players in world politics, combining duties with matters close to her heart. How does she reconcile the two? Bangladesh, July 2019. A country in Southeast Asia affected by extreme poverty and difficult living conditions. In the middle of monsoon season at 40 degrees with 90% humidity, Queen Maxima flies to the Gulf of Bengal as UN Special Advocate for Inclusive Finance for Development.
As I said to you, I'm not sure she thinks about the tropical summer. She thinks about the job she's got to do. I think that she's a good example of making the sacrifices of someone in that office who could have a much nicer life and just be a queen. She's sort of a watch that just goes on ticking until she gets the job done.
Maxima wants to give as many people as possible access to financial services, including insurance and loans, so that ideally they can start their own small businesses.
So the issue is, how can we actually foster all the work to really be able to make this a reality of actually having financial inclusion in the future? There's a couple of things we're going to be discussing in the coming days, and I would like to have your views on it.
The last time she was in Bangladesh was in 2015. The UN Special Advocate now wants an update on what has happened since. The former banker keeps meticulous records and is very well informed, but there's still a lot to do, especially here.
The next level will be to focus a little bit more on the gender side, getting a lot more of the connectivity side of the women, but also to get a payment system that's interoperable, for example, or to get an ID system that is actually good for all the private sector players to have access to, so that we can actually include all of the population into the economic system.
The fact that micro-entrepreneur Jana Islam can run a tailor shop with several employees is largely thanks to the Queen's dedicated work. These two have known each other for 4 years.
But you paid all your credits, so you have no credits anymore, eh? I thought so.
After her husband fell ill, Jana's family got into serious financial difficulties.
The first time I met her, she already had several credits and the possibilities to actually save. And with that, she had been able to set up a business of textile with 8 employees back then in 2015. Now I come back 4 years later, she has 16 employees. She's been able to save. She said she had bought a house. She's been able to pay the education for her extended family. And that has made her sort of quite an empowered woman. And I'm so happy to see the effect.
Leading politicians, bankers, and entrepreneurs follow her advice.
She believes in results in people's lives, and that drives her. So I think she's very focused, very passionate about what she does, and it's exciting because she's empowering women. She's bringing people into a space that they have been excluded for a long time, and that's empowerment and finance.
Whether in the slums of Bangladesh or with Queen Elizabeth in Windsor Castle, Maxima knows what's expected of her. When Willem Alexander is invested into the Order of the Garter, she respectfully hangs back. After all, it is her husband who is receiving the honour. At other times, she's in pride of place, like here beside the Queen at the Royal Ascot horse races. All eyes are always on her. Maxima has brought glamour to the Dutch royal family, and the King is well aware of just how precious she is.
She means everything to me, my happiness at home, my children. I owe everything to her. She's my friend and my partner. She's a very special woman. I'm so happy that I met her and that she chose to share her life with me.
They may be very close, but it's only the King who is the undisputed head of state in the Netherlands. The role of the monarch is set out in great detail in the Constitution. But what about the duties and responsibilities of his wife, the Queen?
Queens by marriage are not even mentioned in the Dutch Constitution. Not a word is written about them. From a constitutional point of view, Maxima is nothing at all. The Constitution only refers to the head of state, the King.
So who decides what Maxima is allowed to do?
It's sort of organised off the record, basically. That might sound a bit strange, but there are unspoken agreements.
Like Willem Alexander, Maxima is also a member of the Council of State, a body which advises the government. But does Maxima really have a say?
We shouldn't place too much importance on that role. Members of the royal family are in that council, but they have no voting rights. Maxima is allowed to listen and be informed, but not make decisions.
She can't express political opinions either. The Queen's job description includes one thing above all else: representing and supporting her husband in his duties.
The good thing about Queen Maxima is that she is always aware of her position as the King's wife and the fact that the King is the head of state and therefore has to play a very prominent role. She does a very good job of respecting that.
Protocol dictates who comes in first.
Maar ik vind wel nu ze koningin is dat ze als ze samen op pad zijn.
Since she became the queen, she's literally been taking a step back whenever they're representing the country abroad. You also see her looking at the king very intently whenever he makes a speech. It's not about me, it's about my husband. I think that's very clever of her.
Dat vind ik wel heel knap van haar.
Every Monday the king and queen meet with their team of advisors. Appointments are made, projects and journeys discussed. The team makes suggestions, and the royal couple also give their own ideas. Ever since she became Crown Princess, Maxima has had a permanent advisor at her side, an extremely experienced business administrator and manager.
Her personal advisor, Pin Zaya, has been very important to Maxima from the very beginning. All of Maxima's appointments, everything she does, it all goes through her. She's very well connected. She's a secret weapon, really. And unlike other people, you never see her. She's invisible. But at the same time, she's everywhere.
One of Maxima's ladies-in-waiting is usually by her side. It's an honorary role, unpaid, but with clear responsibilities.
Es kommen sehr viele
The royal couple always receives a lot of requests and invitations. Maxima, in particular, receives lots and lots. They say you have to plan at least half a year ahead. The ladies in waiting take a look at all the different requests and do the research and the preparations. And then they make recommendations. So the ladies in waiting have a sort of intermediary role.
The king's wife is expected to do more than just smile and shake hands. She has to make herself useful too. The people of the Netherlands expect nothing less.
The queen told me that she loves the fact that there is no typical working day for her.
Aber dann ist sie ja dann auch auf Geschäftsreise relativ viel, also auf Staatsbesuche zum Beispiel.
She has her day-to-day duties, but then she also has a lot of business trips and state visits too. Those days are, of course, completely different to the ones where she's inaugurating a hospital or visiting an institution that she's the patron of. And then other days, she has a lot of internal meetings.
The Koning!
In 2013, Willem-Alexander becomes king, the first man on the throne in over 100 years, and Maxima becomes queen.
It was an extraordinary day. It was a very special, once-in-a-lifetime experience. It was incredibly emotional. Maxima was very regal that day. She looked beautiful.
Amsterdam in party mode. The Dutch give their new king and queen a warm welcome. A royal duty has already been fulfilled by Maxima to secure the future of the monarchy. They have three daughters, Amalia, followed by Ariana and Alexia. Despite all her royal duties, Maxima never loses sight of her children's upbringing. She wants her daughters to have a childhood that is as normal as possible.
I know they do a lot of things together. There's work time and then there's family time. The weekends are important, they're sacred, and so are the holidays.
Even queens are allowed to go on holiday. At a press conference in the summer, they announce familiar-sounding plans.
The holidays are great because I don't have to plan every moment of my day from morning till night. I do that enough the rest of the year. We want to spend as much time as possible with the children, doing different things and staying active.
Swimming, reading, all the things I never usually have time for, playing games and laughing, and having a siesta every now and then.
January 2019, they move into the newly decorated Huis ten Bosch Palace. The children are now nearer their school, a public high school. But how normal can school life ever be for the princesses?
The bodyguards, for example, have instructions that if they ever get into mischief at school, they shouldn't go and tell Maxima or Willem-Alexander about it. They don't want to hear it. Their daughters should be allowed to make mistakes. Willem-Alexander says that's how he grew up, too. On the other hand, of course, you shouldn't be under any illusions. I mean, the eldest, she already knew back in kindergarten that she would one day be head of state. There's no way that she can ever have a truly normal childhood.
Only a few insiders know what happens behind the palace walls.
They're guarded at all times, but they don't notice it, even when they're doing normal things at the weekend.
Like working from the new home, Maxima's job often doesn't differ from that of a manager.
She usually works for the United Nations in the evenings and has video conferences with Washington and New York. That works out because of the big time difference.
This is also part of the job, the compulsory photo shoots for the press and public, but they're only twice a year. In February, when they're skiing in Austria, and back home in July before the summer holidays. Maxima makes sure that Amalia, the heir to the throne, slowly gets used to the spotlight. Does her daughter enjoy her role as crown princess?
I still haven't come to terms with the fact that this is really my life, but I know I'm very lucky.
Is it exciting?
Sometimes. Oh, come on. Sometimes, I said sometimes.
If anything happens to Willem Alexander, the Queen will take his place until Crown Princess Amalia is of legal age. That was Parliament's unanimous decision. Once a year, the Crown and the public celebrate the King's birthday, on April the 27th, in a different place each year. And she is always in the limelight.
She's a born performer. She loves the camera and appearing in public. In that respect, she's a step ahead of her husband.
The commoner's daughter is a natural when mingling with the public. The royal couple is incredibly popular in the Netherlands, partly thanks to her.
They are very devoted to each other, and they support each other in what they do. She's not just an accessory to the king. You can feel the intense respect between them.
When Maxima goes on a business trip, the cameras follow. The Dutch people should see that the royal couple is working. After all, they get paid for it. 367,000 euros a year is Maxima's salary, plus expenses.
Her schedule is planned out down to the last minute. And then, when she gets off the plane, because she's the queen, she's under more intense scrutiny than if she were a man. They focus a lot on what she's wearing. Her appearance is kind of her calling card.
Interest is required in all kinds of things.
If you're Maxima or the king, then you are never alone. There are always so many people around, and you're the center of attention. You always have to be on your guard. You can't go like this in your nose, or there'll be a photo of you like that. You have to be careful.
The royal couple has paid more official visits to Germany than any other country. It's the Netherlands' most important trading partner. The presence of Maxima and Willem Alexander is a form of royal marketing.
It has an incredible influence. They are normally accompanied by a trade delegation. The king and queen open many important doors, doors which would otherwise remain closed to the Dutch economy and to Dutch culture. Their influence is incredibly valuable.
Maxima's background in economics is useful to her in this regard.
It's more about making new connections and networking than it is about signing deals. But those connections can lead to deals. Sometimes deals are even signed during an official visit. The presence of the royal couple makes it an even bigger event.
The royal couple doesn't travel alone. A lady in waiting is always there to ensure everything runs smoothly.
The ladies in waiting are there to hold gifts or to hold her coat when it gets warm, or to give her a coat if it's cold. At receptions where Maxima talks to people, the lady in waiting keeps an eye on the time and says, you have to continue and talk to this or that person now.
The tight schedule doesn't allow time for delays.
She is a bit of a perfectionist, and she's always very well prepared. If something goes wrong, not because of her, it's because of someone else. She can get very upset when that happens.
Here to ensure that upsets are kept to a minimum, a lady in waiting and a highly decorated army officer. Their task is to look after the Queen. The price of prominence, the constant presence of security. Unperturbed, Maxima does her job. She had to get used to life in the public eye at first. She wasn't born into the role as queen. Maxima grew up in Buenos Aires. Her well-situated Catholic family has Spanish-Italian roots. The parents were not particularly wealthy, but blessed with many children. Maxima, two brothers, one sister, and two half-sisters from her father's first marriage. She attended an elite private school. There she soon met the daughters of Argentina's upper class.
Como persona era,
she was a person integral, with real integrity.
Era una persona amorosa, era diferente,
full of love, y que siempre and always there for anyone who needed her.
Y de la gente que la necesitaba. Te podía decir que
she was the center of her large circle of friends. Friends she still has after all these years.
Que siguen siendo amigos después de tantos
that
años,
says a lot about her.
Maxima studied economics at the renowned Pontifical Catholic University of Argentina in Buenos Aires. Her professor remembers her well.
She attracted attention because she was a very tall and pretty young woman. She was also very interested in economic and social issues. I remember the class that year as being one of the best I ever taught. She was definitely a good student, and I was a very demanding teacher.
In the heart of Buenos Aires, one of the many slums in Argentina, mainly home to poor immigrants from neighboring countries. This is also the reality which Maxima grew up in.
When I was 14 years old, I was brought up in Argentina, and I saw how hyperinflation and, sometimes not the best macroeconomic situation brought people into poverty and took away the possibilities to include them economically and build a future for themselves. So from that moment on, I decided to study economics, and probably with the ambition of becoming a minister of finance. I'm actually joking, but it was a little bit like that. I wanted to really help people to make a better life for themselves.
Only a few kilometers away from the slums is the bank where she worked as a student.
She always had a very strong social conscience. She was never vain. She never thought of herself as better than others. She never wore designer labels. She wasn't a snob.
After graduating in economics, she set off for the big wide world, to New York. The 25-year-old quickly made friends, but for her, the most important thing was her job. She worked as a sales manager for Deutsche Bank, a big move up the career ladder with great prospects. And then a fairy tale prince appeared.
A friend said to her, "Let's go to Seville. I'll introduce you to the Prince of the Netherlands." Maxima thought it was a crazy idea at first, to go to Seville for a weekend to meet a prince. But in the end, off they went, and it was at that party that her friend introduced them.
For the Prince of Orange-Nassau, it's certain she's the one. Soon, Maxima was being hounded by the press. The Argentinian was a hit with the Crown Prince's parents, too. The graduate banker seemed to have a flawless CV. Unlike that of her father, Jorge Soreguieta was Secretary of State during the military junta of dictator Fidela. In that period, tens of thousands of people disappeared. For the Dutch, a father-in-law like this was a huge problem. Willem Alexander's wedding plans triggered a domestic political crisis. Parliament had to approve the marriage. Some politicians wanted to put the crown prince to the vote, love or the throne. To make things worse, Willem Alexander tried to exonerate Maxima's father by quoting from a letter to the editor published in an Argentine newspaper, but it turned out the letter was written by ex-dictator Videla himself. Shortly afterwards, on the day of their engagement, Willem Alexander and Maxima faced the press.
I was at that press conference. They came in arm in arm and were all sitting there. The atmosphere was icy cold, kind of like, go on, explain yourselves.
Then the speech they had prepared.
My father is willing not to attend our wedding, although that makes things difficult for my whole family.
The crucial question. Does the Crown Prince regret having quoted a dictator?
I shouldn't have done that. That was stupid, wasn't it?
That was a little stupid. She was very charming and she spoke Dutch. Everyone was amazed. I sat there feeling the atmosphere getting warmer and warmer until all of a sudden it was really hot and everyone was thrilled.
She passed the test. Politicians didn't dare to thwart the couple's plans much longer. Parliament soon gave its long-awaited approval. The wedding could now go ahead.
I met her again in New York before she got married. I thought she was very brave to marry a future king. But I had a good feeling because she has such a strong personality. I was sure that she would put her own stamp on her new life.
On the 2nd of February 2002, Willem Alexander led Maxima to the altar. A commoner joined the Dutch royal family. After the wedding, the Crown Princess went on tour to get to know the country and its people.
Who are you then?
I'm the Crown Prince's wife.
Maxima?
Yeah, Maxima, yeah.
Yes, Maxima.
You look different in the photos.
Do I really look so different? Well, I'm a little bit pregnant.
She arrived on the 7th of December 2003, the future heir to the throne. Her parents named her Amalia, like one of their famous ancestors. The name comes from here, the first Amalia in the history of the Orange-Nassau family. Braunfels Castle on the Lahn River. A powerful woman from a long time ago.
I don't think it's pure coincidence that the future queen's name is Amalia. I think that there really is a direct connection. Our Amalia had so many positive qualities. It was certainly a good idea to consider naming the next queen after her.
In the turmoil of the 30 Years' War, Amalia of Solms-Braunfels moved to Holland. In 1625, she married Frederick Henry, Prince of Orange, governor of the Netherlands. After his death, she took over his regiment.
Amalia was a woman who stood her ground in a man's world. That's pretty impressive. And the young Amalia might have to do the same thing today.
Amalia zu Solms-Braunfels employed the most renowned artists of her time. She commissioned magnificent palaces.
Amalia came to the Netherlands and was just as ambitious as Maxima. She shaped the court, commissioned the building of the palace where young Amalia now lives. Amalia of Solms brought splendor to Holland, royal splendor. She's certainly a role model.
For both Maxima's generation and those to come, The Netherlands' lucky run of women on the throne began in the 19th century. Emma was followed by Wilhelmina, Juliana, and Beatrix. Following in Queen Beatrix's wake, Maxima has learned how to do the job.
Königin Beatrix war sicher ein großes Vorbild für Maxima.
Queen Beatrix was definitely a huge role model for Maxima. Queen Beatrix took Maxima by the hand while she was still queen and gave her some very important advice. And Maxima was very wise to take that advice and was guided by it.
They're thought to have developed a close friendship.
Beatrix saw herself in Maxima. They get along very well because they share the opinion that the crown should be very visible.
Even though Maxima's education may have prepared her for different things, since 2009 she has been UN Special Advocate for Financial Inclusion for Development with her own office and team in New York. She regularly meets people like the billionaire Melinda Gates. Her foundation supports Maxima's UN campaign in the fight against poverty.
Poverty reduction is one of the most important goals for many who work in economic and social issues. It's not just charity. It's also a way to achieve a more stable society. And Queen Maxima is very aware of that. I think it's great that she's so committed to this issue. She shows the rulers of the world in an exemplary way just how important the issue of poverty is.
The former banker knows what to do, even in Bangladesh. As a UN special advocate, she carries out field research and checks the results of the measures taken. Thanks to modern technology, many people can now transfer money via mobile phone. Mobile phone companies offer microcredits, health insurance, and savings accounts. Maxima's efforts are of impact. Half of Bangladesh's population now has access to financial services. 4 years ago, it was only a third.
Actually, happened last 4 years. Most of this increase has been because of mobile financial services. And that actually increased the gender gap. We used to have a gender gap, so the difference between men and women that actually had access to financial services was 9%, and now it's 29%. And why is that? Because not all the women actually have phones. I had a lady there who said, I'm getting a stipend, and I said, why are you not getting in your phone? She said, I don't have a phone, my husband has a phone. So digital inclusion for women is also extremely important.
Maxima calls upon heads of state to act, demanding their support in the fight against poverty.
She puts a lot of energy into her projects and demands results. Maxima says, I came here 6 months ago, and you told me you would do this and that. So let's see what happened. How have you progressed? She always approaches the whole thing from the point of view of the result. For her, concrete measures are what count. She doesn't want empty words. There's no doubt that in recent years, Maxima has been the driving force behind a whole series of programs at the United Nations.
The financial expert is taken seriously by politicians and business leaders. At the Women's Economic Summit, she's a welcome guest. Ideally equipped for the job, she is a strong advocate of economic equality for women worldwide.
Maxima is one of the most professional queens in Europe because she used to have a real professional career. Before she became queen, she was a real cosmopolitan. She speaks Spanish, English, and Dutch, and she understands French quite well, too.
The Dutch constitution doesn't allow the wife of the king to interfere in politics, But where do politics actually begin?
Maxima is a natural networker. She always wants to meet as many people as quickly as possible. That's why she always goes to the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, where all the heads of state meet. Then she doesn't have to travel everywhere. She can go from room to room to talk to everyone. The annual spring meeting of the United Nations at the World Bank in Washington is also extremely important to her.
At the G20 summit of heads of state and heads of government in Osaka, the Queen appears as a guest speaker. She calls for women's empowerment around the world in education and employment.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is an issue that is as important for men as it is for women. And we need you all if we want to really achieve success. I'll count on your leadership, your example, and your determination. Thank you very much.
Her agenda is heel tight.
She has a very busy schedule. I'm always surprised at how she can arrive in Indonesia, for example, in the morning, start work straight away, and then take a return flight the next evening. Then she'll arrive in the Netherlands in the morning and immediately head off somewhere else for another duty. It's so fast-paced, quite unbelievable.
The tempo ligt gigantisch hoog. Dat is echt onvoorstelbaar.
In 2018, a shock. Her sister Inez commits suicide. She was Princess Ariana's godmother. The Queen takes some time off and flies to Buenos Aires. One of her first official appointments after Inez's death takes Maxima to a hospital. The Queen is visibly stricken, but talks to the journalists about the death of her sister.
My dear little sister was sick too. She couldn't find peace and she couldn't recover. Our only consolation is that she has finally found peace.
She wanted to read out her statement at first, but in the end she didn't. That was very brave, very human. Later, she visited a suicide prevention project. Many people in the Netherlands who suffer from depression were touched by the presence of Queen Maxima. Depression is still a bit of a taboo, but the Queen has made it a public issue.
Despite her grief, she continues her duties. Once again, the topic is finance. As honorary chairwoman of the platform Smarter in Money Matters, she encourages children to learn how to do just that.
Some children find it hard to handle money. Do you maybe have some cool tips for us?
One cool tip, and I hope the schools will do this too, is to talk about money in the classroom. Our website has a lot of information you should know. And it's also good to talk to your parents about it. You should know about the risks and that saving is important. And you should think hard about what you want to spend your money on.
As an ex-banker and mother of three daughters, Maxima also wants to set an example when it comes to money matters.
Maxima said that she's made a deal with her daughters about money. They have a sort of list of things that they pay for themselves and another list that Maxima and King Alexander pay.
In the Netherlands, too, many households are in debt.
She believes that money management is an important cause because by focusing on the children, teaching them how to set up a savings account, what happens with interest and how to invest, you don't only reach the children, you actually reach the adults too.
And yet another important lesson, this time with sound and movement. In the Netherlands, schools hardly offer any music tuition. For Maxima, that simply won't do.
Dat heb ik absoluut gemerkt.
She comes from a country where you grow up surrounded by music and dance, a country with a fiery temperament. It's great that she's using her own experiences to pass on her enthusiasm and joy for music to all of the children in the Netherlands.
En plezier te geven in de muziek.
Van muziek maken houdt ze.
She loves music. I know that she loves to sing.
Heel vroeger speelde ze zelf.
She used to play the guitar herself, and now she wants every child in the Netherlands, every primary school pupil in school, to have music lessons.
Muziekles moet krijgen op school.
Because that enriches their lives and encourages creativity.
En dat zorgt voor een bepaalde creativiteit.
Maxima is also honorary chairperson of the foundation More Music in the Classroom. Hear from one of their ads.
Kijk op meermuziekindeklas.nl.
Her own living room is turned into a television studio. All for a good cause.
Bravo!
Well done.
Welcome. That is
welcome. That's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Vond ik altijd zo moeilijk om.
Can you say that?
Yeah, I go.
Kan je het ook?
Nee,
no, I can't. But you can definitely play, and very well too. In 5 years, we have reached about 30-35% of all children in the Netherlands. They receive a good quality music class at least once a week between the ages of 4 and 12.
The Orange Fund helps Maxima to support certain projects. Financed from the proceeds of the state lottery, it supports socially disadvantaged groups. The royal couple was named its patrons as a wedding present.
Het is leuk om te vertellen dat ze.
They regularly visit organizations, usually once a month, sometimes more often.
Meegaan om organisaties.
They want to get to know the volunteers who are working so hard, and also to hear the stories of those who are receiving that help.
Maar ook met mensen die geholpen worden. Om hun verhaal te horen.
There are two very special people visiting us today. Welcome the king and the queen.
De koning en de koningin.
The monarchy is good at surprises.
Maar zij zijn in staat.
Both of them managed to create a very relaxed atmosphere, often through just simple gestures. By talking about their journey, for example, asking how people are or if there's anything they need. That somehow makes people open up and tell them how they feel.
Vertellen hoe het echt is met ze.
Once a year, the Orange Fund organizes a volunteer day with the motto Holland lends a hand. Together, the Crown and the public devote time to special causes.
Königin Maxima und König Willem Alexander.
Queen Maxima and King Willem Alexander see themselves as a team. They want to do everything together. They know that they can't do things alone. They both need each other. They each have their own areas of influence. But first and foremost, they are a team. There's no doubt of that, and that's what sustains them.
Also in the Antilles, a Dutch outpost in the Caribbean, where colonial rule turned into partnership many years ago.
The royal couple gives the people there the feeling that they belong. They represent a very important connection.
Die verbinding, die verbindende schakel, die zij zijn.
Also at home. According to surveys, 84% of Dutch people think that Maxima is doing a good job.
Maxima is very ambitious, and I mean that in a good way. She needs that ambition to be successful in her role. And she's also very charismatic, which helps her a lot with all of her duties, with absolutely everything she does. She wants it, she can do it, and she gets it done.
And since there's no retirement age for the profession queen, she has time to carry on doing just that.
And with that piece that you can check out on YouTube, was produced by The Economist, is called Profession Queen, about Maxima of the Netherlands. And obviously it includes images as well, but it works as a radio piece as well. And we come to the end of today's edition of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior. Our sound technician was Gloria Sarmiento, and the host, yours truly, Fernando Farias. We hope you enjoyed today's program and invite you to join us tomorrow for a new show. Ciao. Hasta mañana.